Mom was arrested in probably October 14th or so of 1944. She had an interrogation very soon afterwards and didn't admit to anything. They tried to insult her, call her names, harass her verbally. She just didn't respond. She's tough. And then the next interrogation was, I think, in November or December. And for that one, they said, "We have someone here that you're going to be very interested in seeing." And they opened the door, and crawling in on the floor, dragging himself because he couldn't even walk anymore, was Ludwig Gehle, the man that they had hid in June of 1944 for 2 weeks. And he had obviously been tortured and beaten. I should backtrack a little bit. He was arrested in November of 1944. He was hiding somewhere else at that point, and he was so frantic. His wife had had a baby. He arranged a visit to see her somewhere on a street corner, and she showed up. And at the same time as she was approaching him, he saw somebody else who he knew approaching them. And he was sure that this person that he knew was there to give him away. And he thought, I'm not gonna get arrested. So he took out his pistol and shot his wife dead and tried to kill himself, but he wounded one eye, blind in one eye. And then he was arrested. So that's how he got into prison. And he had been tortured when Mom saw him, but she still admitted nothing. And they asked her about him staying at their house. And she said, "We did have someone billeted to our house." And they indeed had had somebody even before my dad was billeted there. A soldier was living there. And she said he was wounded in the war. Could have been true of my dad, but she was talking about this other guy because she never wanted to admit a connection with dad either. And they got nothing out of her and sent her back to her room. Mom, through these injections that her doctor sent, the placebo injections, made a connection with a medic. His name was Frosch, which meant frog. He would give her the injections, and at some point she felt she could trust him. And she gave him little notes that he would pass out to some of her friends. He would have time off from prison and go out and visit people for her. At one point, he came back and gave her the terrible news that her mother had been moved from prison to a concentration camp, Ravensbrück, which is 60 miles or so north of Berlin. But he said, "The good news is she's in the political prison section." Dad was scheduled for a trial in the People's Court, you know, the blood red court. And the night before the trial, the prison he was in, which was the Moabit prison, it wasn't bombed, but there was bomb damage, and his little glass window broke. He was standing up in a chair looking out the window to see the bombing, because there were armaments factories nearby. And the Allies generally tried not to bomb the prisons because they knew the good people were there, and they were going to need to be some good people after the war. And he got these glass splinters in his face. Well, facial wounds bleed terribly. And so they took him and other people who had been in damaged cells out of that prison and put them in another prison. And he ended up being in the same prison where my grandfather was, Tegel. But because the moving was so fast, they couldn't do the paperwork, so they lost track of him for a little while. He might have been tried somewhat later than that. But by that time, Gehle had been arrested, and he was wanted for further questioning in the Gehle case, because Gehle probably had been tortured and mentioned where he had lived. So my dad was never tried. And then things started really falling apart for the Nazis in 1945. And then at some point, my grandmother got out of the concentration camp. I think it was April 11th of 1945. She was called in by a matron to the commandant, and he gave her a release paper, which we still have a copy of, saying, "You're free to go." Nobody knows how this happened. She left the camp and stood outside on the street, and a car with two SS men comes up and says, "We're going to Berlin. Do you need a ride?" And so, still not speaking, you know, she just slightly nodded her head, and they grabbed her and put her in the back of the car and took her to Berlin. And they got to Berlin and they said, "This is how far we're going. You know, you need to get out now." So she got out, and lucky her, she was within blocks of her best friend's house and went there. Within a few days, Frosch came to see my mom again for another shot in the prison or medication of some sort. And, oh no, she had to go to a dentist. Mom had to go to a dentist because the prison food was basically some kind of, you know, very watery gruel and bread, and her gums were really bothering her. So she had a dentist appointment, and Frosch came to pick her up and arranged with some really sweet old guard to take her over there. And she walked into the dentist's office, and there was my grandmother. Foch had arranged for this. So they had this amazing reunion. So this is a few days after April 11th. And then within a week or so after that, Mom got out of prison because everybody could hear the Russian shooting and they're getting close. And the people in her prison told the guards, if they find you here with us in prison, they're going to kill you. You should let us go. And they stomped their feet and made a lot of noise. And eventually that worked and they were all let go. And she worked her way home, well, to this best friend of my grandmother's house, which is where they had agreed to meet. They were there for a few days and worried about their men, you know, what was going to happen to them. And the door opens and there's my grandfather. And he had been the last person to be tried in the people's court, he and another man. They had been taken to Plötzensee, which was the execution spot where people were hung from meat hooks. So they died slowly. Within 20 minutes of his arrival, the Russians came, shot all the guards, liberated the prisoners. And my grandfather's in the northeastern part of Berlin, no idea where he has never been there before. And he's walking on the streets and he hears a woman's voice say, "How's Olga? How's Olga? What are you doing here?" And he turned around and it was the woman who worked in the little corner grocery store where they shopped a lot in their neighborhood in Western Berlin. And she took him in and fed him for a week. She had access to food. And so when he showed up, Mom said that he looked like he was just coming off the golf course. He looked so healthy. And then 5 minutes later, the door opens and my dad showed up. And he had gotten out of prison a few days earlier and went with one of the other men in the prison to an apartment that he had on one of the main thoroughfares in Berlin and took off the uniform, borrowed somebody's, probably that other man's, some of his clothes so he could walk safely through Berlin because the Russians were killing any man that looked like he could have been in the army, old, young, whatever. And he made his way home. And then their post-war life in Berlin began, which had more adventures for them. But you know, you can imagine how incredibly moving it was that they were all there.